Good morning. Just to say, I haven't spilt breakfast down myself this morning, if anybody wants to notice. So Isla had a nice chocolate biscuit, and I thought it looked better than me than Amy's white blouse. Okay, so I took that responsibility this morning. Just to say this morning, my brother James Coombs has stitched me right up. If you remember last week, we had Dave Perry, a theologian, teacher at the Bible school. And just imagine James at home looking through the list. Who shall I get to speak after him? My brother and his wife. So thanks, James. I know where you sleep at night. Okay. When James asked Amy and I to come and speak in October, my first response was, really? Me, Amy, and I just want to give you a little look into Phil Coombs's thinking, his mindset. Some of it's not appropriate for this morning, so I'm not going to dig too deep. But my mind was filled with, October's coming around quick, November's coming around quick, what shall I do? What shall I speak about? And this is how my thinking went. Maybe I could play a really long video clip because that would use up some time. And I thought, actually, maybe I could just play a 7-minute song. That'd be good. Yeah. Thanks, Terry, thanks. Good night. And then I thought, well, actually, no. Let's be a bit more spiritual. Let's have a really long time of reflection and quiet for about 15 minutes. If all fails, maybe I'll just dance. This is my thinking, and God sort of brought me back round to thinking about today. And I have a little conversation. I don't know if anybody else does. I have a little conversation with God in my mind about things a lot of the time. And God sort of said, well, why do you want to do all those things? Okay. And he said, well, why do you feel that you need to use all those things? And my thinking went something like this, because I'm not good enough to speak? Because I'm not academic enough to speak this morning? I'm not qualified to do so. There's got to be someone better than me. And going back to last week, you know what I felt like? I felt like a shrimp. A little shrimp, unqualified, nothing to give. And suddenly God told me, what about the big blue whale? And we've been going to Alpha, and I just want to say, Tim and Ness are doing a great job at Alpha. We need to continue to pray for them. They're a blessing. They're an impacting people. So bless you guys. We've been going to Alpha, and there was a video that actually I ended up seeing twice. I think maybe God was trying to cement something in my heart for this morning. And just cutting a very long story short, it was about a guy who had an alcoholic father, left home at a very young age, 16, I think he said it was. He ended up getting into some petty crime, and that became worse in going into prison and spending a sentence in prison. He came out of prison and actually ended up going on an Alpha course and getting saved. Cutting a very long story short, he ended up doing a 3-year theology course and becoming a priest. And he actually ended up going back in to prison to impact the inmates. And he said on this clip, and obviously hearing it twice, once at Alpha and once at the Connect group, he said, every day I doubt myself if I'm the best person for this job, but I can't doubt the calling that God's got on my life. And it sort of sums me up a little bit today, that I've got lots of doubts about myself, but I know that God's challenging me, using me, and he's got a purpose for my life. So take me as I am this morning. Take my wife as she is. We're going to continue to look at the book of Deuteronomy. Is anybody listening? That was Deuteronomy. Obviously not. We're going to be continuing to look at the book of Ephesians this morning. And we're going to be focusing on the family of God. Look at that. Okay, it works. Brian Haynes kindly spoke to us about the mystery unfolds. The Jews, the chosen people, and the Gentiles declaring through the gospel of God as co-heirs. Then we have Dave Perry last week talking about the unsearchable riches of Christ, the unlimited resources of God, holding back that breaking news that the Jews and the Gentiles together is coming to one as the family of God, as one church. You and I were formed for the family of God. God wanted a family, and he created us to be a part of it. The Bible doesn't tell us that God has a little bit of love. It doesn't tell us that God is full of love, that he has lots of love. It says that God is love. And because God is love, he treasures relationships. The entire Bible is the story of God building a family who love him, honor him, and reign with him forever. God has always existed in a loving relationship to himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's never been lonely. He didn't need a family. He desired one. So he drew up the plans to create us off dust, off the ground. Brings us into his family and to share with us all that he has. He created us and adopted us as his very own children. The Gentiles, us, even Gary Lamb, heirs with Christ. As children of God, we get a chance to share in the family fortune. Isn't that good? Philippians 4 verse 19 says, "My God will meet all your needs. He will meet them in keeping with his wonderful riches that come to you because you belong to Christ Jesus." Maybe the best news about our adoption into God's family this morning is that it's not dependent on us. I'm definitely going to stick my hand up and say I'm glad it's not dependent on me this morning. Actually, I'm going to stick both hands up. He doesn't call the righteous. He redeems the sinners. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 10 says, "God's grace has saved you because of faith in Christ. Your salvation doesn't come from anything you do. It's God's gift." Let's just pause and think about those three words again. It's God's gift. It's not based on anything you've done or what I've done. No one can boast about earning it. God created us to belong to Christ Jesus. The invitation to be a part of God's family is universal. And there's one condition, that word faith. Faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3 verse 26, "You are all children of God through faith in Christ." I just want to pause for a minute. In fact, God just challenged me to pause and say, if you haven't got faith in Christ Jesus this morning, if you don't know what it's like to be part of God's family, me and Amy or one of the leaders would love to pray for you at the end. Faith in Christ Jesus. SKCC vision emphasizes the importance of being family together. To demonstrate God's kingdom and community at home and away. Giving, enjoying, impacting, cultivating, inspiring. Enjoying shared family life together. Growing, praying, and expecting the miraculous. God loves it, and God wants us to share family life together. Moving forward together as family. Seeking God's direction as family together. Laughing together as family. Mourning as family together. Finding love, security, and hope in God's family together. Enjoying shared family life together. Growing, praying, and expecting the miraculous. I'm just going to hand over to Amy, and Amy's going to continue for just for the next little bit.
Good morning. So, Phil and I have been married. I need to make sure I get this right. We've been married for 11 years, and we met each other in 2001. We started dating. And obviously, when you go into a relationship, you become part of another family. I have my in-laws sat there, so I'm clearly going to be quite careful with what I'm saying. But I was very blessed to join the Coombs family. So while Phil and I were dating, very early on in our relationship, I went round to Phil's house for a meal, for a nice evening meal. Now, the thing with families are that we all operate very differently. And some families do things in a different way to others. So one of the things that Phil's family did differently to ours was that sometimes on a weekday, they would eat their meals on their laps in front of the television, which was a really exciting thing for me because as children, we were never allowed to do that. So Graham had been in the kitchen cooking up a wonderful roast dinner. Now, anyone that's been to Graham and Deirdre's house will know that Graham is very good at cooking roast dinners. So he had made this roast dinner, and I love a roast dinner, so I had a lovely full plate of roast potatoes, chicken, carrots, sweet corn. Sorry, I won't go on too much about that. A lovely full plate of roast dinner, and I love gravy, so I had lots of gravy all over the roast dinner. And I sat down on the settee with a tray and put the plate on the tray, and I hadn't realized how slippery trays are. And a plate on a tray slips off very easily. And I quickly discovered that this is exactly what happens when you put a plate on a tray. And sometimes I don't concentrate very well. And I think I must have lost my concentration. And before I knew it, the plate had slipped off the tray upside down onto Graham and Deirdre's carpet. Now, the one thing I haven't told you about was the fact that this was a brand new carpet. A lovely navy blue carpet that had been there for a few weeks. See, they remember this. They remember this moment as clearly as I do. Now, what the amazing thing, and those of you that know Graham and Deirdre, you will know, is how gracious they are. And they did their best not to show their horror of having gravy all over their new carpet. I watched as they quickly went to the kitchen and got a cloth and trying to dab off. I was scraping the food back onto the plate. I think I even said, "Oh, it's fine, I'll still eat it. That's fine." It's one of those moments where you think, are they really going to accept me into their family? Is this it? I dread to think what the conversation was after I left the house. I have to say, I am so grateful that Graham and Deirdre are so calm in situations like that, and they were so loving towards me. I still do remember that moment, and in fact, there is a little piece of rug that covers the stain on the carpet. But they still accepted me into their family, and which is obvious because Phil and I have been married now for 11 years. But that is part of family. And just to encourage you, when we talk about family, you might be sat here this morning feeling inadequate, feeling rubbish, feeling like you've mucked up just like I did that day. Feeling like there are things that you have done which mean that how possibly can I be considered into God's family? I just want to encourage you that it's, as Phil said, it's nothing about what we do or what we haven't done. We are all included into God's family. Whether you are male or female, old or young, where you are from, what ethnicity you are, what type of upbringing you had, we are all part of God's family. And that is what is so wonderful about God's family. God's family is meant to be a diverse family. So no matter if you are sat here feeling as though over the last few weeks you have been messing things up, that something has happened that means you just can't hold your head up, you don't feel that you can be part of God's family, that is not true. We are all part of God's family. God's family has open doors. And no matter how clumsy you are, the family accepts you into it. John 1:12 says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in the name, he gave the right to become children of God." So a lot of you will know that one of the jobs that I do, I work for the adoption service in Kent. So my role is managing the social workers that identify children that need to be adopted and match them with adopters. And when the social workers are considering potential matches, they look at characteristics of that child. Often when we're looking for adopters for older children, they look at personalities, likes, dislikes of that child, and do their best to match that with adopters that will be similar, that that child will be able to hopefully settle into that family. And what always amazes me about the adoption process is that, yes, we do our best to try and match children with adopters in the best way we can, but that as the children join their adopted family, as they spend time with their adoptive parents and their extended adopted family, they start to become more like their family. They take on characteristics, personalities. Even there are times where they even start to look like each other. And likewise, the adoptive extended family become like those children. It's an amazing thing to watch happen. And that's something that reminds me of what it's like when we spend time with our family of God. As we spend time together, we grow with each other, we support each other. And although we're all from completely different backgrounds, we all start to grow together and become more like each other. And the amazing thing is, the big thing that we all have in common is that we have all fallen short. We have all mucked up. We all have things that we have done that we don't want people to know about. That is an amazing thing to have in common. And we can start from that ground. As Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Now, as I've said, being together means that we start to grow like each other, we start to become more like each other, but we still keep our differences. But what I want to say this morning, and as Phil and I were reflecting on what we were going to be speaking on, the importance of spending time together as family. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." The Bible highlights to us the importance of meeting together. As Phil explained, God created family. He intended us to be in his family, to become family, not just our birth family, but our wider church family. Being together as family, not neglecting to meet together, but to be together to encourage each other. We need to spend time together as God's people, to worship together, to learn more about God and to support each other. It's great listening to a worship song on your own at home, but it's even better praising and worshiping God together with family. It's great reading your Bible at home on your own, but it's even better reading God's word with others and hearing what others have to say about God's word. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We need to meet together. We need to come together. We need to prioritize our time together as family. And Phil's going to speak a little bit later about the important individual role that each one of us has to play in God's family. 1 Corinthians 14:26. What then, brother, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. Phil's going to speak a bit more about that important role that each one of us can play. And I would just again encourage you, if you're sat here this morning, and just as both Phil and I over the last week have been battling with our own insecurities about speaking this morning, if you're sat here this morning feeling inadequate, as though actually, what am I good at doing? How can I be part of this family? How can I take part? They're lies. It's not true. You all have an important part to play in this family. And one of the significant things, and I just echo what Phil said with Tim and Ness and Alpha, and just you go into their home and you experience the love of God. And that's what we need to do as family. When we spend time together, we have an opportunity to demonstrate God's love to others, and also to experience God's love from others. So sometimes I think that we can forget that God has created family to be able to be there to support us. Now, a couple of months ago, I had suddenly started getting reoccurring headaches, and they were starting to happen every day. And they would come on and they would be affecting my concentration. I couldn't think straight. They were always behind my right eye, always in exactly the same place, and almost like a migraine. And it was really starting to get me down. The pain, but the frustration of not being able to operate on 100%. So when I'm trying to do my work, it was really getting in the way. And I was struggling along with these headaches, trying out different paracetamols, Nurofen. I then realised possibly it would be a good idea, seeing as the headaches were happening every day for a few weeks, I should go to the doctor. Went to the doctor. She listened to the symptoms. She said, yeah, sounds as though you're having something called cluster headaches. Here's some medication. Oh, phew, I've got the medication now. I can do this. I've got the medication. It will all be fine. Go to work. Take this. It was like a nasal spray thing for migraines. Took it. And it made the pain even worse. And so I'm at work, head thumping. I work in Maidstone, so I have about a 45-minute drive to and from work. So I had to drive home sobbing because I was in so much pain on the M20. Medication hadn't worked. It was a Tuesday, and we have our Connect groups on a Tuesday. And I realised, actually, I'm not going to cope with hosting a Connect group this evening. So I messaged around the Connect group, not so much to tell them about my headaches, but to tell them that I had to cancel Connect group because I had a headache. And the response I got back from our Connect group was, "We are praying for you. We pray that God will heal you from these headaches. We pray that you have a good night's sleep." That realization that God has given us family to support us, to pray for us. I mean, I was stupid. You know, why did I not do that in the first place when the headache started? I've got Phil here saying that's not unusual. Thank you, honey. Because we try and soldier on, don't we? And I want to encourage you today, if you've got things that are going on in your life that you are trying to struggle and soldier on, then stop and use this morning to come and get prayer. Use this morning to have God's love demonstrated to you through God's family. So, God's love. Phil's already mentioned, and that is what God's family centres around. We need to experience God's love through God's family and demonstrate it through God's family. I'm now going to hand back over to Phil.
Thanks, Sam. Can I tell you something? Just lean forward a little bit to say you know what's going on. Bit more. God has no favourites in his family. I'll be words with you, Terry, afterwards. Yeah, thanks. God doesn't have any favourites in his family. It might hit Hive local news, but Vincent Oliver isn't God's favourite. And even Graham Coombs isn't God's favourite. Cyril Coombs came close, but he just accepts us for who we are. He does not rate any ministry higher than any other. I just need to say that again. God hasn't got any favourites. He does not rate history higher than the other. Because some people didn't hear it the first time. The church is made up of many brothers and sisters, which we've heard about. And in Galatians 6:10 it says, the church is made up of many brothers and sisters. Isn't it true that we get cross with the people that we love the most? My kids. I didn't realise how cross I could get with my kids sometimes. I didn't realise how frustrated I could get with my beautiful wife sometimes. Because all my confessions coming out now. Everybody in the family of God has a part to play. Each member of that family has responsibility to watch and to care for the other members of that family, to see others fulfilled and growing in relationship to the Heavenly Father. Isn't that right? It takes all of God's family, all his people, to do all of God's work. It takes all of God's people to do all of God's work. Not a few, not 60%, not 70%, all of us. It's about us as ordinary people made complete in Christ coming together to demonstrate God's love here on earth. So how do we play our part? I might just skip past that. How do we play our part? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't we need the Holy Spirit? Oh, I need him on a daily basis. Even when I don't always acknowledge it, I need him. I need him guiding me, encouraging me, challenging me, getting alongside me. I'm not going to go through every scripture that's on here just for time. Use your gifts and abilities to serve the body as good stewards of Jesus Christ. There are people in this room that aren't using the gifts that God's given them. Oh, really? Yeah, really. We need to stretch ourselves for God's kingdom. Make room for other people. Are we making room for other people? Or are we doing it all ourselves? Others may do some things better than others. My wife, she makes loads of room for me when it comes to cleaning. I mean, this happens on a weekly basis. It probably happens actually on a daily basis because she knows I'm better at it. So she makes loads of space for me. Isn't that kind? We need to make room for other people to step up. We need to get alongside them. We need to encourage them. Make space like Amy does for me. We need to know our place in the body of Christ because this brings security and confidence. We need to be secure. We need to feel security as the body of Christ. We need to admit our need of other people. It can be hard to admit that actually we do need other people around us to support us. Maybe some of us men need to admit that we need other people around us. The family, the church is our life support system. Let's not be afraid to draw upon the life of God for our family members. Care for the body. Practice hospitality. And I think it's really good at the moment, obviously, that we're putting our names down either to be hosted or to host people. And I think that's really important. Two more. Make love your aim and earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Are we desiring God's gifts this morning? And the last one, value other believers and encourage them. Do we feel valued this morning? Are we being encouraged by one another? And I just want to end with a testimony just concerning being valued and encouraged. There's four people here, one's a couple and two individuals, who encouraged me a little while ago. But what they don't know is that all those encouragements came within a space of a week and a couple of weeks. And maybe God was just trying to, again, cement something in my heart that it wasn't just one person encouraging me. It ended up being three different people coming to me and encouraging me about worship. First of all, a lady came up to me and said, "Oh, Phil, worship was great this morning. You just really blessed me. It was great." She didn't use those words. But she really, really encouraged me. And I went away and said, thank you ever so much. That was a real encouragement. And in the space of another Sunday, another lady came up to me and said, oh, I've been holding on to this for a while. But she just put it on a little note. It says, Phil, you are great being yourself leading the meeting. And it said, Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. I thought, great, what an encouragement. I had that person last week and now this person. They're encouraging me. And then I had a little card through the door. And it says this, Dear Phil and Amy, thank you so much for your gifts to the body of Christ. Your leading worship yesterday really blessed me, Phil. It was such a ministry to my soul. I wanted to encourage you in this and let you both know how well you are appreciated. The Lord bless you and keep you and give you peace. And I've read those out because I want to encourage those people, because they didn't know that anybody else had encouraged me. And one encouragement would have been, yeah, great. But three, within 2 weeks, God knew where I needed my encouragement. Are we encouraging one another in the body of Christ this morning? And we just want to give, me and Amy just want to give opportunity to pray with people this morning. Firstly, do you need an encouragement this morning? We would love to pray for you this morning. Just going back to the beginning, do you feel unqualified to be part of God's family? We want to pray with you if you feel that you're having to strive all the time to earn something. You're just accepted for who you are. We'd love to pray with you.
And while I was preparing what I was going to say this morning, I felt very much God speaking to me that there is at least one person here this morning who has not experienced a loving family. And when that word family keeps being said, it's causing them pain. That the experience that they've had is that they never quite were made to feel as though they never quite met the mark. That they were made to feel in their family a failure, a letdown. That the love that they experienced in their family was conditional, dependent on the mood of the parent. But we have heard this morning that that is not what God's family is like. We have heard that God's family is open, forgiving, non-judgmental, unconditional love that is always there. I would encourage you that if that is you this morning, that has experienced a painful experience of family life, then please come up for prayer. We want to pray healing, restoration over you.
I'm just going to pray and then we're just going to hand back to Gary. Also, I just wanted to repeat again, if you haven't got faith this morning in Christ Jesus, we'd love to pray for you as well. Let's just take 10 seconds just to pause, and then I'm just going to pray. Thank you, Lord, that you desired family. Thank you, Lord, we can experience that family through faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. It's not dependent on us our adoption into your family. You accept us just for who we are. What a God you are. Amen.